This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday podcast on the 15th of December, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. CJ Miller and Greg Allen check in with the news today, including USDA's new program with new funding focused on regenerative agriculture. Now's the time for corn and soybean growers to get serious about weed control. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has the new Indiana farm forecast, which still has Arctic high pressure over the state, but a significant change in temps is coming soon. And the end of the week brought a sell-off in grains and oil seeds Friday. We'll have the numbers and Brian Basting market analysis on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Regenerative agriculture and looking ahead to spring. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. USDA is rolling out a new program and new funding focused on regenerative agriculture. CJ Miller has more.
Regenerative agriculture is truly any production system that minimizes environmental impacts, maximizes production, and increases the productivity of soil over time.
And that's Brian Glenn, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Last week, USDA launched a $700 million regenerative pilot program to help America's farmers adopt practices that improve soil health, enhance water quality, and boost long-term productivity, all while strengthening America's food, fuel, and fiber supply.
Through this program, USDA acknowledges that farmers have long practiced regenerative agriculture on their farms, both through federal conservation programs and on their own. We are certainly still digging into the details of this new initiative, and we are looking forward to making sure that it is administered in a way that is workable.
He says that USDA's new initiative will apply to two programs that many farmers already participate in,
including the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, EQIP, and the Conservation Stewardship Program, or CSP, and it dedicates $400 million to EQIP and $300 million to CSP to fund regenerative agriculture projects that improve soil health, embrace water quality, and boost long-term productivity for farmers.
If you're a farmer and you're interested in the program, you can apply through your local NRCS Service Center. I'm CJ Miller.
Farmers across the Midwest are already looking ahead to spring, and corn and soybean growers say now is the time to get serious about weed control. With input costs still high and margins tight, agronomists warn that early season weeds can rob fields of moisture, nutrients, and yield potential long before the planter even rolls. That's why many producers are spending the winter months building a proactive weed management plan.
It's really difficult as we get into 26. People are really looking at making sure that they're able to maximize the inputs that they put into the field, making sure they're able to maximize profitability and opportunity. So the next largest investment that they'll have is in their seed. So when you think about that, making sure that whether it's corn or soybeans, when you're planting, that you're not having that competition for the nutrients you've already put down with weeds. And one way to do that is use pre-emerge herbicides.
That's Will Griffin with Valent USA, who encourages growers to take a layered approach, starting with strong pre-emergence herbicides that provide residual protection, followed by timely post-emergence application.
Those issues that we saw later in the season are mainly around a lot of the fungicide, but a lot of that is really working on that early plant health, making sure that those crops are coming out strong, they're growing actively, that they have a strong root system. All those things help lean into, and I'm not saying prevent, but it's, you know, if you're a healthy human, you're less susceptible to infection. If you're a healthy plant, you're less susceptible to infection. So whatever we can do from a herbicide perspective to make sure that that crop is clean on the front.
As growers keep an eye on the calendar and the weather outlook, weed control remains one of the most important steps they can take to set up a healthy, productive planting season. And for many, thoughtful preparation now could make all the difference when the combines roll next year. Find more on this story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Arctic high pressure continuing to dominate the landscape this morning. However, we are already seeing the center of high pressure shifting to the east. That happened overnight last night. That's where the coldest core of this Arctic air is at. And south winds are starting to develop up the backside of the high. That's going to lead to a significant change in pattern. You know, everybody, including myself, complaining about the cold air this past weekend. I guess it's December. We should expect cold air, but at the same time, didn't like it. Well, hey, no worries. By the time we get done with Thursday, we're going to be looking at upper 40s and low 50s across the entirety of the state. Now, we are going to be seeing a little moisture come in with that warm air. We'll get to that in a little bit. Through tomorrow and Wednesday, though, strong southwest winds help warm temperatures. We're going to see a lot of snow melt out there. So I think by the time we get into Wednesday afternoon, we are looking quite sloppy in all parts of the Hoosier State, just in time for that frontal complex to come through on Thursday. I think we start with clouds right away Thursday morning, and by midday to afternoon, rain showers will be everywhere, anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of rain, 100% coverage across the Hoosier State. Everybody gets wet. Now, this front isn't just a rainmaker. It's ushering back in another round of very cold air. As a matter of fact, the air mass behind this has got impressively more cold over each of the past few days. So I think we finish the week on Friday with another good, strong Arctic blast. Friday is quite chilly, so I'm unhappy again, right? And we keep the cool air around into early Saturday morning, but just as fast as that Arctic blast races in, we have milder air coming back for Saturday and into Sunday. Now, I do think this warm air, cold air battle plays out through the second half of the weekend. Sunday afternoon can start milder, but maybe pull back a little bit as high pressure slides through the Great Lakes. I am confident, though, that we, by Tuesday, see strong west and southwest flow across all of the state again. That's going to put temperatures near and above normal easily all the way through Christmas Day. I think there's a little moisture that wants to try and pop up on Christmas. Scattered rain showers in here, and then we follow that up with drier and very warm air through the 27th and 28th, likely looking at rain late the 28th into the 29th, but still looking mild on through the end of the year, 29th, 30th, and 31st. So yes, after being quite cold and seeing an early start to winter with regard to snow in November and early December, yep, it's gone. Here we go. Let's get after it. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
While snow may cover Indiana's soil and water, Hoosier farmers know the great treasure that lies out of sight. As we move through the holidays, know that the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance values you as an integral part of Indiana agriculture. However you contribute to viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water, IANA and its partners stand ready to help in 2026 as you manage expensive nutrients successfully and plan for next season.
A sell-off in corn, bean, and wheat futures. This is Hoosier Ag Today with the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. And we'll have the final numbers from Friday trade coming up. First, in the middle of the session, I checked in for analysis with Brian Basting. He is at Advanced Trading. Markets lower throughout much of the trading session. Just a little down, Brian, in the grains, but the soybean futures market led lower, so we saw probably some profit taking and some long liquidation going into the weekend, and it was a pretty significant sell-off. Any particular reason why?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I think we're seeing some long liquidation, as you said a moment ago, in beans. We've seen a delayed release of commitment to traders reports, and those show that as of mid to late November, the speculative sector as such had a significant long position in beans. And with the improvement, improvement in the weather that we've seen in Brazil the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've seen a dramatic improvement in rainfall totals across previously dry areas. And the combination of the improvement in the weather in Brazil and the liquidation has just been too much for the bean market to hold up. And we've seen quite a sell-off, as you said.
We did see some gains in the bean market earlier in the week. And we also have seen, really, it seems, a resumption of daily flash sales of soybeans, not only to China, but elsewhere as well.
We have. And I think that there are some growing indications that perhaps the 12 million ton eventually objective of selling beans to China will be reached. It may not be reached by the end of the year. It may be pushed back a few months, but it does look like eventually we'll get pretty close to that number. And it's needed because the soybean export sales reports that we're seeing, catch-up reports, again from the USDA, are showing that we don't have enough demand to meet the USDA forecast without those Chinese sales. So, yes, we're actually seeing some sales also of corn. And we're seeing some very strong indications that the USDA's decision earlier this week to bump up their export forecast was justified, because we're seeing some really stellar weekly export sales numbers from the USDA on catch-up. And so, yeah, I think that the corn market is a little bit more on solid ground export-wise than beans right now.
But the corn market has really gone nowhere throughout the course of the week, oftentimes right near even. What's happening in corn?
I think we're starting to see some holiday trade as such evening up. Typically, that's not uncommon this time of year in the absence of major fundamental news, where we'll start to see a volume begin to lighten up a little bit as we approach Christmas and New Year's, of course. And I think we're starting to see that already. Keeping the downside limited has been the export business, but keeping the upside limited also is probably some cash flow movement at the first of the year, which is typical for producers as we enter the new calendar year. I think we'll see some of that. And I just think it's some liquidation, perhaps at the end of the year here. We've only got about 10, 11 trading days left in 2025 now.
Okay, let's talk about some things to consider as farmers maybe have a little bit of extra time as they get set for Christmas and the end of the year. As far as marketing, some tips?
I think the biggest thing I would suggest to your listeners, Andy, is to get control of these 2025 bushels. And by that, I mean get a floor underneath these crops, provide downside protection, but also leave upside open. And there's several ways a producer can do that. Can do that with the sale of a crop and a purchase of a call option. They can purchase a put option is another method. But regardless, get control of these 2025 bushels. That way, a producer can turn their attention then entirely to 2026 crop. And it won't be long as we turn the calendar over here in just a few weeks. The 2026 will move front and center, particularly as we approach that February crop insurance period. But I would suggest that producers get control of their 2025 bushels and remain flexible as possible. I'll leave that upside open. But a lot of variables yet to play out with this 25-26 crop year. Still got most of the Southern Hemisphere growing season yet to go. And, of course, we got a lot of uncertainty about exports. As we move forward into 2026, And then also we've got, of course, the entire 2026 growing season here in the U.S.
Grain market commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading, an economist there. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The final numbers from Friday trade. March corn ended down 5 3/4, going to 440 3/4. May 449, a loss of 0.25. July 4.5 lower, 455. Again, the weak side leader, beans, January down 16 3/4, 1076 3/4. March contract ends at 1086 3/4, losing 16 cents, 15 1/4 lower for the May at 1097, and March wheat 529 1/4, down 4 1/4. Meat markets mixed. February live cattle, 229.55, down $1.40. February lean hogs, 84.52, up 35. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.